The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rihanna.
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you still be my star. Maybe 'cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need me there. With you, I'll always share. But no thumbs to get out to the end. Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Come in between. You're part of my entity. Here for infinity. When the world has struck its part, when the world has dealt its cards, if the hand is hard, together we'll mend your heart. Because when the sun shines, we shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be your friend. Took an oath I'm to get out. Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. La, la, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. La, la, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. La, la, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. La, la. You can run into my arms. It's okay, don't be alarmed. Come into me. There's no distance in between our love. Gonna let the rain pour. I'll be all you need and more. Because when the sun shines, we shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be your friend. Took an oath of us to get out to the end. Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, eh, eh. Under my umbrella. Ella, ella, eh, 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 eh.
Hey guys, welcome to Off Limits After Dark. It is Thursday night, 2 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, and we are going to talk tonight just about the news and also just whatever you want to talk about tonight. Today, Obama signed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's active now. Well, it's going to be active soon, but it's in motion now. So that is a done deal. It's a good thing, and I'm really proud that he actually did what he said he was going to do. And, you know, a lot of things, people don't like the fact that Obama has actually, a lot of people say Obama has not done much for the nation, or people say, you know, especially the gay community, are not very happy because he hasn't done as much as he said he was going to do until Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I was one of them because I was like, you know, this asshole keeps saying he's going to do this, he's going to do that, he's going to support gay rights, he's going to have health care, blah, blah, blah. But it seems like everything's always been like a compromise for him. So anyway, just a few of the things that he's done while he's been in office. His first year, if you think about Obama, he's been in office for one whole year. Hey, Debbie Daly, nice to see you. Vince, or bye, Debbie Daly, Lady Cougar, Herbert, I appreciate you guys coming in. He's done a lot for the first term president. I mean, if you consider what he's actually accomplished so far, just a few of the things he's done, you know, the Matthew Shepard Act, which officially, you know, and the James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act, basically, prevents, you know, hate crimes against gay people and hate crimes legislation nationally. That's a great thing. He did the yesterday, covered the expenses of all the 911 veterans, or not the 911 veterans, but the 911 first responders who have had a ton of problems with health problems and issues as a result of the asbestos and things that were in the 911 towers or the World Trade Center towers. It took them, you know, 9 years, but they finally did it because of Obama. Don't Ask, Don't Tell, of course. START treaty with Russia and all that. So, in healthcare, of course. So he's done a lot of things, and especially in the past year. So, I'm really proud that he's actually accomplished what he said he was going to do, and many of the things he said he was going to do. So, and also today there was news about because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in Virginia. There is a delegate from Virginia named Bob Marshall. He's trying to draft a bill to keep the state's National Guard free of anything gay. He thinks that having, even though it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell is in play now, he wants to prevent on a state level anyone serving in the National Guard from being gay. So we have this huge step forward, and now we have somebody trying to push us back. So, Lady Cougar, Christmas show sounds fun. I think I'll be out of town on Christmas, so I won't be able to. I'm not going to have a show again until Monday. So I'm going to actually. This will be my last one until Monday. So I won't be able to have a show for Christmas, but it's a great idea. Debbie Daly, you don't do politics. What is it you don't do about politics, Debbie Daly? Meaning you don't get involved, you don't vote, you don't care about the system, you don't care about what happens in the country or the community or in Dallas, or, you know, does that mean you don't get involved in politics at all? Or what does that mean you don't do politics? I mean, I just was curious what that means exactly. And that kind of brings me to something I'd like to think about or talk about. Well, first of all, Debbie Daly, you should realize that typically this show is not political. Well, maybe it is political, but it's not about politics usually. But I wanted to talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell initially because of it being repealed today. I think people, whomever you are, you've got to vote. You've got to vote, absolutely, whatever you believe in. You vote, but you don't talk about it. So you don't talk about it. You mean you don't talk about it on your show, or you don't talk about it at all, like with your family or anybody, because you're afraid of people being against what you believe? I mean, why is that? I'm just curious. I don't know, but the way I feel about it is basically don't talk about religion politics. Well, Debbie Daly, my mother and my grandmother both raised me the same way. They told me, don't talk about religion or politics or race or blah, 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 because it's too much opinion, yeah. And I was raised the same way. And look how I turned out. That's what this whole show is about. It's why it's called Off Limits. You talk about things that are off limits. So my family is too, Debbie Daly. my extended family. So that's why this show exists, is to talk about things that are off limits, like politics, like race, like religion. So we do just definitely discuss these things. But I am someone who absolutely believes in discussing politics and religion and race and things like that in public, in a dinner party or wherever you go. I'm not someone who believes you should keep it in, you know, next to your chest and just kind of keep it secret. Because, in my opinion, if you just are someone who keeps all of your beliefs inside and you never express them and you never get outside opposing opinions, then you're never exposed, really, to other ideas. I mean, you may hear them, but you never have a conversation or converse about them with somebody else, right? So, in my opinion, if you're going to talk about politics and stuff, you know, you're not going to talk about it with anyone else. You're limiting yourself and limiting your worldview. It's on a very limited. It's kind of a limited mindset, in my opinion. I think one has to expose themselves to opposing opinions, opposing ideas. And if you don't agree with them, fine. You can discuss that and talk about them. But I personally feel if you're going to actually you got to stand for something, is what I'm trying to say. You can't just kind of be, okay, you know, I believe what I believe, whatever. But I don't want to talk about it, you know. I just don't believe that. But you know what, Debbie, I mean, you can believe whatever you want, honey. I mean, I'm you believe whatever you like, you know. I'm about freedom of expression and people believing whatever they want to believe, and I'm absolutely for it. But political discussion is absolutely not fruitless to me. It absolutely is a most important thing, and it is, like I said, is what makes people actually, well, going to vote doesn't do enough. You can go vote. We have the Electoral College, hello. So you can go vote, and you can actually cast your vote, and it makes some may make some difference to some degree, but overall, it's not that huge of a difference just because you vote for something. You've got to actually make change happen through other means usually, not just through voting. But I vote too. Voting is very important, and I think it's, you know, absolutely important. So, but Debbie, you know, I'm just telling you, expressing my opinion. But I'd love to talk to you about it sometime. You can call me on my show if you like. But anybody who wants to call me or talk to me about this or anything else I'm talking about tonight, you can call at 323-843-6160. Or you can call on Skype, of course. Hey, Desert Rose. Hey, Blue Sky. Nice to see you guys in here. Glad you came in. One Angry Jew. Hey, how's it going? Some people I've never seen before. Nice to see you guys in here, too. what does arguing over something like politics about? I can get info from CNN. Well, Debbie, my opinion about that is this, is that you can watch CNN, but CNN, first of all, is CNN's opinion or CNN's scant on things. Although people try to say, you know, Fox News is a perfect example. Fox News is the most biased, right-winged, you know, news channel that exists, right? So, in my opinion, anyway. Many people's opinion, there's actually been articles written about how biased they are. And so CNN is far more balanced, in my opinion, than others. MSNBC is on the other end. It's much more liberal-minded. So, and I watch MSNBC more often. But I do try to watch the opposing side, too, like Fox, and hear how retarded I think they are. Just watching those shows doesn't really do that much, because if you watch a show, you watch them, it's those people's opinions and those people's views to some extent. It's always someone else's slant or view. So if you actually do discuss politics with someone on a one-on-one basis, you get to talk to them and talk to them about these issues, not just hear one person's side of the issue or two pundits who go on the show to hear two opposing sides. Typically, in my opinion, things are not, you know, black or white. Things are typically gray, or to some extent anyway. There are things that I think are black or white, but in terms of politics, a lot of things are gray. And I think you can't really get that the gray areas from CNN or MSNBC a lot of the time, or Fox especially. Now, I love to watch Rachel Maddow, and she is very, okay, in my opinion, I usually don't do this in shows, but I like you. So is this, what's the difference? So is what, what's the difference? It's all opinion though, babe. Oh, of course it's all opinion. I agree, it's all opinion. But the difference would be this, is that if you and I discuss politics, or you and me were to talk about opposing views on something, or me and someone else on my show, we're having an actual conversation. I can't talk to the television. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't discuss or debate someone who's talking, or pundit who's on the TV at the moment, right? On CNN or whatever. You can't discuss it with them unless you call it the call-in show or something. So that's the difference to me, is because you can have your voice heard when you're talking to someone directly on a show like this, call-in show or whatever, But if you're just watching CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, you're not getting that discourse. And that discourse is what makes people's minds change or plant the seed in someone's mind about something maybe they hadn't thought about before, or how they thought about something before, you know? So anyway, but I mean, to each his own, right? I mean, if people want to, and you know what, Debbie, if you don't feel that getting involved or whatever in any other way is important, that's fine. I mean, you don't have to be political. I don't think you have to be political per se. I just think as long as you're involved in some manner in your country's voting process and that kind of stuff, which you said you were, then that's great. I mean, as long as you're involved. What pisses me off, you know, are people who say, oh, I hate this country, I hate this about the country, or I hate this about my community or my city or whatever, or my school system or whatever, and all they do is sit back and all they do is try to bitch about it, but they don't do anything about it. All they do is sit back and not actually try to affect change by action. And it takes action to affect change. You can't sit back and just do nothing and expect something to change if you want it to change. And, you know, and one voice is all it usually takes to get a movement going. Whatever the issue is, that's usually all it takes, right? And so all you have to do is just, if you believe in something, if something is not right, then get up off people's asses. If people get off their asses and actually go and do something about it, instead of bitching about it all the time, then things would change. And I think, you know, if actually, you know, and people who disagree with me, fine, but I mean, I think the majority of the country is probably not as conservative as we hear. But the thing is, the right wing, really radical right wing, I mean, conservatives, are much better at mobilizing and getting a message out and then communicating that message. Republicans are experts at it, and that's why they do so well. Democrats suck at it, and liberals in general suck at it for whatever reason. They don't seem to be able to pick up on what points people should drive home and actually to affect change or whatever, to make people, to move people, you know, emotionally, so that they do take action. And so I feel like, you know, people are complacent about it. And fortunately, though, the Democrats are getting better now, because it was for a long time, you know, especially Obama. Obama, oh, my God, Obama. I could talk about him forever. But I voted for Obama. Why did I vote for Obama? Let me tell you why. I voted for Obama and as opposed to McCain for many reasons, but just a few are because McCain was against gay rights, obviously, and Obama was for civil rights in terms of gay rights. He was not for gay marriage, but he is for civil unions. He is for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He's for having the same exact benefits and rights that heterosexuals have. And that's why I voted for Obama as opposed to McCain, because that is of utmost importance to me. And also, McCain was also an idiot, and he kept changing his mind, wishy-washy. I mean, he's done that all along. He can't make up his mind on any issue. He's one day he's one way, one day he's another. So anyway, I voted for, and also he's a Republican, and I'm liberal-minded, and I'm not a Republican. I believe more in social liberties and social responsibility as opposed to individual responsibility. So I voted for Obama, hoping he would do all these things that he said he was going to do. Now, he inherited, obviously, a really horrible, horrible state of the economy. He inherited a really horrible economy and state of our kind of national morale and national feeling and sentiment, you know. So for the longest time, I mean, people were depressed, and all we wanted was the economy to turn around. We wanted our lives back and that kind of thing. Well, he worked on that, of course, with the bailouts, which I did not agree with, actually. But economists said, and he said, that if he had not done the bailouts, that he would have basically, that the economy would have sunk into an actual depression. And the thing is, I don't know if that's true or not. We will never know if that's true or not. But to me, Obama has acted just as the same way in a fiscal sense as a Republican would have in many ways. So he's really pissed me off in a lot of ways. And so he's done that over and over in many different areas, and it's really pissed me off. And I'm like, okay, this guy is not who he says he is. And so the gay people kept waiting and waiting and waiting, saying, okay, when is he going to do the things he said he was going to do for the gay people? He kept saying he was going to do these things. We try to be patient. Of course, I don't speak for every gay person in the world or United States, but we try to be patient, and we waited and waited. And he kept making promises. Nothing ever happened. Promise nothing. Promise nothing. Promise nothing. And then all of a sudden, during this lame duck session here that we have between, you know, the Republican between the Democratic ruled House and the Republican ruled House, or is it the Senate? I can't remember. It's the House, yeah. So between those two, during the lame duck session, he has accomplished almost everything that he set out to do in such a short period of time because he could. And that he's finally got some frickin' balls, okay? I mean, that's what I've been waiting for. I'm like, if I were president, I would do this, blah, 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 blah. I kept saying, you know, he doesn't have any fucking balls. He didn't have any chutzpah, right? And he finally got the fucking balls to do what he said he was going to do, and he achieved it. And so I'm proud of that, and I'm really surprised by it, too. I never thought in a million years he would actually do what he said he was going to do, but he did. So I am absolutely impressed by that. But anyway, so in terms of all that, I'm glad that he did sign a Don't Ask, Don't Tell and everything else that's done. But the Virginia delegate I told you about earlier wants to prevent gays from serving in the National Guard now. And he also wants to he's also wanting to not allow gay people to serve in any capacity in his state or whatever. So, I mean, these bigots are still around, right? They still exist. And we can't no matter what, how much progress we seem to make, there's always some way of stepping back, right? It's always some way of stepping back. And I don't agree with you, an angry Jew. He has not accomplished the destruction of America any more than, if you could compare him to Bush. Bush is the one that destroyed America, not Obama. And he's already only been in office for 1 year, and you think what he has accomplished and done has actually destroyed the country, please. But anyway, and yeah, he can't have my gun either. I don't see him wanting to have my gun, by the way. I don't recall him ever saying. He's actually said and stated many times that he believes in the right to bear arms in this country, people to have their guns. So he doesn't want our gun. So whatever. Anyway, what was the other thing I was going to talk about? The 9/11 responders, you know, as I told you earlier, he's now covering, or the government is going to cover a portion or a large portion of, give them free medical care, basically, because people who were in the buildings in 9/11 inhaled a great deal of asbestos and many other toxins that were around the 70s when those were built, and they have really bad health issues as a result of that, and so he's helping them. So basically, you know, if a Republican were in office now, the things that have happened that were for the common good of the nation in terms of the things like Start and things like covering the expenses of the 9/11 first responders, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Matthew Shepard Act, and things like that, all of these things that were for civil liberties and rights and to help people in some way, the health care reform, whatever, probably would not have ever happened. And as I said last night, I've said in the past three shows, you have a Republican side, and you have the liberal side, and I stand by this statement. You know, liberals have a heart, and Republicans don't, generally speaking. Conservatives generally do not. If you want to give me a call, the number is 323-843-6160. So that's some of the latest news that's been going on lately. But also, I should also say that Obama, just so you know, I mean, the things that he has accomplished this in his term, such a short term so far, he also instituted enforcement for equal pay for women. He began the withdrawal of the United States troops from Iraq. As I said, families of fallen soldiers have expenses covered to be on hand when the body arrives. He ended a media blackout of war casualties. The White House and federal government are now respecting the Freedom of Information Act, as opposed before when Bush was in office. He ended the previous stop-loss policy that kept soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan longer than their enlistment dates. He removed restrictions on embryonic stem cell research, which I do believe in stem cell research, absolutely do and agree with it. Federal support for stem cell and biomedical research, new federal funding for science and research labs. States are permitted to enact federal fuel efficiency standards above federal standards. For the longest time, states were not allowed to do that because of big money and corporations, which basically ruled this country, which is wrong, obviously. I think that's a horrible thing. the United States Financial and Banking Plan Rescue Plan that he set out. Obviously, I told you about before. Better body armor is provided to our troops, which George Bush did not want and did not actually he signed against before. The missile defense program is being cut, actually, by $1.4 billion in 2010 because it's not as necessary as it once was in the Cold War era. U.S. Navy is increasing patrols off the Somali coast, which is important. He's done so many things. I mean, it's like a huge list here that I'm reading off of here. It's almost 100 things he's done since he's been in office. So I think that people need to remember that, and I think it's important. Oh, by the way, Claire, I cannot read your your thing again. So I'm sorry. I have no idea. It's all like it's all gibberish and like totally Chinese or something. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Song, that Charlie Brown song. It reminds me of Christmas every time I hear it and my childhood and all that great stuff. So I wanted to check this call real quick. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I was going to meow, but I was afraid you were going to hang up on me.
Yeah, I know. I know who you are now. How's it going?
Okay, I'm tired.
How are you? Are you going to be going to bed
soon? Yeah, for a change, because we're going to leave and go to the casino tomorrow, so.
The casino, wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, good luck. I hope you win.
So do I. But Since we talked about it on the air last night, I have to ask you on the air,
okay.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I thought they were hilarious. did you write those? Those were hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I just sat back and just reworded them like Weird Al did a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
And for Plug It In, actually, I was watching TV and they kept using those Glade commercials. And I wasn't paying attention. They said Plug It In, and I thought they said Rub It In, and that just did it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I thought they were very clever, actually. I actually enjoyed it, so it was funny. I like some of the music you guys play, too. So I watched it, or I was listening to it while I was painting, so it was fun.
Yeah. But, of course, yeah, we'll do a few in January, and then that'll be it, because I'm not paying.
You're not paying. Where are you going to go now?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
I'll just go to the shows and listen to the shows, and then the ones that, you know, I go to, and I'm just not going to do mine because I'm not going to pay them. I figure, I know, more than likely, I'm one of the lucky ones by having my show starting in July of last year, or I would be down to just 30 minutes now.
Right,
but
right.
Since I was already in, that's how I'm getting in, because I've been there a year and a half. And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
They're money hungry.
Yeah, they are, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't mind paying for it, because I'm still on the, I got to renew my trial twice for whatever reason. I don't know why. And so I haven't actually had to pay anything yet, but I'm on the pay plan. I have been since I started. And so I've always intended to pay for it, but my problem is if it's not working right, that's what pisses me off. It's like a middle of a show, and then all of a sudden all my calls drop or whatever. And that hasn't happened lately because I've been on earlier usually, but I bet you it'll happen tonight because it usually happens around the same time, around 3 a.m. Central Time. So anyway, I don't mind paying as long as it works the way they say. But I don't think it's fair. I mean, if you're gonna have a free account, you can't do much with 30 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes is nothing. I mean,
you don't have time, and you're only allowed three
songs or whatever.
Audio uploads.
Right, right, exactly. So
that's stupid. Once they get you on the basic, then they're gonna be just like whenever you see on TV, if they want you to get DirecTV or cable, they'll give you the first 6 months with additional something, no charge, and next thing you know, bam, you got to start paying for it.
Right,
and,
exactly.
That's what I figure they're going to do with this. They'll, as soon as they get enough people paying just for the basic pay, then they're going to get, they're going to subtract a little bit of that or raise it. And that's,
right.
You know, almost close to $500 a year just for the basic.
Yeah, 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 I know.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it just depends on who you are and, you know, what you want to spend and what you want to do and that kind of thing. I enjoy it. Of course.
Like, I'm on a set income on disability, so
right.
I can't afford it.
Right, right, right. I understand that, and you know, and that's, I understand that. It kind of sucks for people like you who can't afford to do that, because especially when you've been doing it so long. I think people who've been doing it for so long should be grandfathered in to some extent, or they should get some sort of recognition of how long they've been on BTR. You know, they should at least be recognized. Look, you know, I've been on BTR for, you know, since it started or whatever. And if that's the case,
at least give us an hour.
Yeah, at least a free hour instead of half an hour or something for your dedication. And the people who've been on the show have actually made BTR what it is, you know, or been on their shows. That's what's made it what it is. And I think it's just wrong that we can't fight corporations. I mean, they're going to do what they want to do, and their whole corporation's whole purpose is to make money. So they're going to try to make money any way they can. So,
will you say you'll be back Monday?
I'll be back on Monday, yeah, after the Christmas holidays. This is my last show until Monday. And then my husband and I are going to go out of town to his family. And, Friday, I'm having we're having with my family here, and then a Saturday we're going out of town to be with his family, and then come back on Monday. So yeah.
Okay.
I'll
well, my show will be back. Well, we'll be on Friday, but stop by again Wednesday.
Okay, I'll be there. Have a good time at the casinos. Good luck.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I'm getting ready
for bed. Have a good
Bye.
Night. Bye. Okay, so that was Lady Cougar. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Hope you have a good night, Lady Cougar. So anyway, before the break, I was just talking about what had been done politically and everything else. And so if anybody has any kind of response or any kind of feeling on that, you can give me a call. The number is 323-843-6160. So that's Obama and all that kind of stuff. You know, and for Christmas, I was wondering what you guys, you know, I was thinking about when I was little and, like, told lies and everything about Christmas and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and all these things, you know. And I really, you know, I definitely certainly feel that Christmas, you know, Santa Claus, the whole thing, Santa Claus. I'll tell you how I found out there was no Santa Claus. You know, as a kid, I was like 6 years old. I was 6 years old. I actually remember this. And my aunt, Elaine was her name, she had like beautiful handwriting, like the most gorgeous handwriting you'd ever seen. It's like, you know, you like calligraphy almost, you know, it was gorgeous. And so everybody in my family knew that, even I knew that. And I actually have good handwriting because of her, because I kind of emulated her. But anyway, so I was like 6 years old. We went over to her house for Christmas when I was 6 years old. And under the tree was a new Atari. And on it was Merry Christmas, Santa Claus, right? And so I knew there was no Santa because of her handwriting, obviously. So anyway, apparently One Angry Jew has something to say, but I'm not sure I'm ready to take your call yet, One Angry Jew. I'll take it in a little bit, though, okay? I'll talk to you, but I want to give myself a little bit to talk first. And so this Christmas, we're spending with my husband's family and that kind of stuff, and what I was trying to say earlier is so your family, you know, you grow up, you know, they're telling you all about Christmas and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny or whatever, depending on what kind of family you grew up in, that kind of stuff. He harbors resentment towards Santa as a white man, so he felt compelled to blow up for a black man. Well, Obama's not a black man. He's biracial. He's not black. People seem to forget that. Even though he's perceived as black, he's actually biracial. But as I was saying before about our parents lying to us about things at Christmas and the Easter Bunny and things like that, so you grow up, your parents are telling you all these things, and you're like, okay, so you believe them, and then all of a sudden you find out they lied to you. And so when I was growing up, you know, in terms of Christmas and everything, I felt like, okay, well, if they lied to me about this, lied to me about that, then maybe they're lying to me about Christmas too. And so, you know, I came to my own conclusions about that. I talked about all that last night, but I feel like I don't know if you people who have children, if you tell your kids, that there's a Santa Claus, you tell your kids that there's an Easter Bunny and all those kind of things. And if so, I wonder if you actually, you sound like someone with about as much sense as a broken cookie. yeah, you don't have to actually yell so loud. I see you. You don't have to yell. So it's no problem. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to take a break because I'm getting flustered, so I'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, so we're back. Wow. You know, it's really interesting to me how much hatred there is for Obama on certain sides of the spectrum. I have to say that I'm not, like, Obama is not, like, my answer to all of the problems of this world or this country. He was the lesser of two evils for me. He was either him or McCain, and Obama was the better choice for me. So, and I talked about all the reasons why yesterday. I'm going to talk to them about them again. But they, you know, Obama, I don't know what it is with the Jews that I do know. The Jewish people I know hate him, just abhor him. And I actually asked my friend once, Gila is her name, I asked her, I said, why do you hate Obama so much? What is it? You just, like, have this horrible hatred for him. Why do you hate him so much? And she said that it had something to do with Israel and something to do with his take on protection of Israel or something like that. And I sense from her and a lot of Jewish people that it's more about the whole feeling of his dad being a Muslim or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe it's because he's black and Jews don't like black people. I don't know what the deal is. But whatever the reason is, the Jewish people I know just can't stand Obama. So, you know, and that's fine if you don't like him, but you got to have a reason for not liking him. You got to have an actual reason, not something that's just, you know, made up in your mind or whatever. But anyway, Obama is, like I said, you know, he is who he is, so whatever. But in terms of Christmas, as I was saying earlier, I'm going to go to my husband's family. And the reason I'm going there is because, well, my family is totally like, I have, okay, there's a lot of people in my family, but I don't talk to any of them except for maybe, my mother and my grandmother, and my grandmother died last year. So I talk to my mom, of course, and she and I are very close. My grandmother died last year, and then my Aunt Elaine, who was also very close to me, died last year. I actually had four people I know die in the last year, last 2 years. So, it's been a really tough 2 years. I had a close friend, and I had my father-in-law died. my grandmother, and then my my aunt. So they all died within the space of like 6-8 months or something. So, and actually, literally, I'd never had anyone close to me die since I was a kid. So it was really hard for me, you know, because all those people dying at the same time and experiencing death and funerals and da da da. But anyway, my point was going to be that I actually am going to go to my husband's family. My mom's coming over, and with me and my husband and my closest friend, we're going to have Christmas together, and that's it, because I have extended family who just is so fake. I hate, fake people who are, fake. You're like, you know, oh, you're, like, oh, hi. Well, in the South, anyway, it's all, bless your heart, aren't you sweet? We just love you. And then behind your back, they're all, oh, my God, can you believe what he just did or what she said or da-da-da. I mean, that's how they are in the South, and it's, like, the way it is here. In the North or other parts of the country that I've experienced, people are far more in your face about things or far more, you know, if they don't like you, they tell you your face, like New York or farther north or whatever, which I actually appreciate and admire because, and that's how I am, but I was raised a different way. And so my family's all, my extended family, like my uncles and aunts and stuff, are all religious and, you know, and so Christmas is coming up. They're all religious and very Christian and all that kind of stuff. And I feel very, you know, when I came out to them, they were all very fake about it. They were like, oh, we just, you know, we love you to death, and you are, we love you, blah, blah, blah. And then when I come out to them, they're like, you're going to hell, and you're going, you know, you're being taken over by Satan or whatever, and it's wrong and evil and immoral, blah, 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 blah. And so it just was, you know, like I said last night on my show, it was an about face. They tried to completely turn their back on me because I was gay. And I felt like, you know, I was punched in the stomach. So that was when I was, I came out when I was 14, and I came out to my extended family when I was 18. And so when I was 18, I just decided, well, look, these people are not who they said they were. All these years, 18 years of my life, they said they loved me and cared about me and everything else. And I come to find out that they don't, that they are actually just pretended to love me conditionally and never unconditionally. And to me, true love, whether it's a family member or a husband or whatever, a spouse, whatever, you know, is unconditional. So so I don't talk to them anymore, and I actually can't stand them. And so last year, I had to see them all the time because of all these funerals and things and my family and stuff. And it was just, you know, bleh. So my point is, I'm not going to be seeing them at all for the holidays. And I haven't seen them all these years. I mean, I cut them out of my life when I was 18 years old. And so so that's why my family is so small. It's just my mother and myself, really, and then my husband and my best friend, who's I'm very close to as well. So so we're going to go to his family. His family lives in Waco, Texas, which is south of Dallas. Everybody probably knows about Waco because of the Branch Davidian thing. And Waco is sort of it's where Baylor University is. It's sort of a it's a very Baptist religious town, a small town, and you know, I've never had a problem there or being there or anything, but it's just, you know, under the surface, it's like I was saying, it's all bless your heart on the surface, and then under the surface they're talking bad about you behind their back. And so his family though is not like that at all. So my whole point was going to be is that Christmas is coming up, and if you're actually Christian, which I'm not, but if you are Christian, like his family is, then you should actually be Christ-like as well. A lot of Christians are not Christ-like at all. They say they're Christians and that sort of thing, but they don't act Christ-like. They don't act as Christ himself would have acted if he'd been here. And people often forget that if Christ were here, he would not be hanging out with the rich multi-billionaire CEOs and politicians and the leaders of this this world. He would not be hanging out with those people. He'd be hanging out with the people who are the underdogs and the minorities and the gay people and the black people and the Jews maybe and so on and so forth. People, obviously, because he is Jewish. So, but you know what I mean. So he would be hanging out with the people who are marginalized in this world. And people seem to forget that Jesus was about those things and chastity and poverty and that kind of crap. So if you're going to claim to be a Christian, at Christmas time and you're really going to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas and all that stuff, then be Christ-like and love thy neighbor and all that good stuff if you believe in that stuff. And if you're not Christian, do it anyway. I still think, even though I'm not Christian, I still think there's a lot of great things about that religion, you know, that I agree with in terms of treating each other with respect and loving one another. So, and that most religions, that's what most religions about, is about loving each other and having each other, having each other's back, so to speak, in community. And so, and that is what I was saying the other day, is what being a liberal is about, is taking care of our community, and being a conservative is about taking care of oneself. So even that is against the Christian ethic or whatever. So, you know, even just being a human being, whether it's Christian or whatever it is, I mean, just be good to each other and stop being so fucking mean all the time. People are so, there's so much fucking hatred. And I just, you know, this time of year, I think about it every year, this time of year, because it's weird, because as Christmas gets closer and closer, oh, there's all this goodwill and cheer, and we're supposed to be anyway, and all of this, these great feelings about the holiday. And so people magically become better people around this time of year. And instead of being that way all year round, or striving to be, people tend to just think it's okay to just be that way, you know, when it's convenient at the end of the year or whatever. And it gets very annoying to me, and I just wish people could be nicer and kinder to each other, because, as I've said many times on my show, I hate hatred. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate hatred. I hate people who hate, okay? And so, anyway, I'm going to take a call now. I haven't been looking in the chat room, so I wouldn't be distracted. And I'm going to see what people have to say. Hold on a second. One Angry Jew, what is your area code? So I know which one you are. And so I know which call to take. Five, one, two. Okay, hold on a second. You're on the air.
Hello, Donovan?
Yes.
This is Tyler Davenport, Blog Talk Radio, Fourth and Baker. I just wanted to say I really am enjoying your show. It's nice to find intelligence in the world again at Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What was your name
again?
I like
your Tyler Davenport, K-I-L-E-R Davenport. I'm Fourth and Baker, okay. And I have the poet Place, and I'm also a long-term care advocate and former EMT paramedic and news consultant, and I have a lot of shows on advocacy for our senior citizens and all that kind of thing, and I teach health care and long-term health care. But your show is really good format, good honesty. I like it. I like your attitude, and
I
just hope you can continue to be successful in everything you're doing. And check us out, too, when you get a chance, and I'm going to follow you. And about the Blog Talk Radio thing, Nobody's following up on that. I've emailed some other hosts, and nobody wants to really get involved. The passive, massive America, you know, nobody wants to fight this 30-minute thing, and they're getting ready to take away some more stuff from the 30-minute people that got them started, like you said.
Right.
So anyway, I don't know what we can ever do about that. But.
Well, I because I'm new to this, and I've only been doing it a couple of months, and I actually emailed them and said, look, I don't mind paying for your service in the future, but I'm not going to pay for it if it's not working the way it's supposed to. And also in terms of the people, I mentioned the 30-minute thing and how I thought that was unfair. And they said, well, we're working on that. We're gonna figure it out. We'll get back to you. And, of course, they never did. And so I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, what can you do about it?
Well, there's nothing you can do. Like you said, one night next week or two or three, I'll read my poem to you about passive, massive America and the machine, the corporate machine. But
okay.
You got to work hard to be on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, we're on 36 platforms, and I wouldn't name them now. I would take the whole show. But we're on 36 social platforms, and you need to be, too. You just need to get out there on SoundCloud and get on Cinchcast. I hope you're writing fast. But you need to be on Cinchcast, really
okay.
Bad.
I have that on my iPhone, but I've never used it. I've got
it's great, okay? And TalkShoe, you need to be on TalkShoe. It will bring you a big audience, and it'll bring you a selective audience. But get on TalkShoe also, because it's really, really good. It's better than Cinchcast. And you can simulcast from your phone. You can do, if you have a feeling or if you have a thought or something, you can get on your phone and call CinchCast or TalkCast. I mean, I'm sorry, TalkShoe or CinchCast, and you can do the thing from your car, from your bedroom, or wherever, and then you can download it to your show, and if you're sick one night or you don't feel good or you don't want to play music, you can do a thought or a quote or a news insert and just pop it on. It records instantly when you call in, and you just hang up, and it goes to your file. It's pretty neat.
That's very cool. Yeah, very cool. Okay, so, I'll try that. I checked out TalkShoe. I've signed up for it, but I haven't used it yet. So I know about TalkShoe, so that's cool. Okay.
And Skype is good too. Do you have Skype yet?
I do have Skype, but I've tried to use Skype, and for some reason, when I try to use it, it seems to not work for me. I don't know why.
Blog Talk Radio blocks the main part of it. You have to pay Skype if you're on Blog Talk Radio. But you can talk to me on Skype at home, or I can talk to you at home.
Oh,
on Skype.
I see.
It's free.
Cool.
But I'll email you and let you know about the show and some other stuff. And I'm supporting you guys, and I really appreciate you being on Blog Talk Radio. Stay on. Whatever you do, don't get off.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments. I really do. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Well, that was nice to hear. So now we're going to be on with One Angry Jew right after this song, okay? We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay, can y'all hear me or not? Let me know if you can hear me. Say yes, I can hear you, if you can hear me in the chat room. Say yes, you can hear me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me speaking or not? Hello? Hello? Okay. No, he hears music. Okay. You can hear me speaking? Okay, good. Okay, good. So, okay, excellent. So I'm going to bring on One Angry Jew so he can rant, okay? Here we go. Well, I'm trying to. Are you there? Oops. Are you there? One Angry Jew, are you there? It says you're on air. The microphone is lit up, so your hand is up. 512, right? Well, that's weird. See, my switchboard says waiting for host to call in now, which is like the kiss of death, because when it says that, that means it thinks I'm not on the phone or whatever. So I don't know what to do. I could try to call in again, but if I try to call in again, I won't be able to get back in. So I am really not very happy right now. Jew, I'm trying to bring you on, but it's not letting me. I don't know why. I keep pushing on air, and it says you're on air, but you're not. So, all right, well, anyway, I was going to let him speak for a little while, but I guess I will talk myself some more. So what are you guys going to do for Christmas? I'm trying to think. Does anybody have an iPad besides me, by any chance? iPad. Anybody have an iPad? Well, let me tell you, they're freaking fantastic. I love iPads. And yes, this is an ad paid for by Apple. Not really. But I love iPads. They're great. So you got to get one if you don't have one already. It keeps me completely organized, especially since I'm a little ADD. And it's totally organized me completely. Oh, wait. Okay, I think he's calling back in. Let's see. Hey, Slugga. I was wondering where you were. You missed a good show so far. Okay, I want to see where. I'm going to see if this works. One Angry Jew, are you there?
Why does everybody want the Jew?
You wanted to call in, bitch. You're calling in, so talk. Say your piece about Obama.
Well, let's see. Tell me what Obama's done that you like the best. What's the best thing he's done?
Mostly his civil rights things he's done, for gay people and also for the healthcare thing. I like that too.
All right. Let me ask you now. If in what he does, he destroys his country, but it's good for gay people, are you for it?
Well,
are you an American first? Here's the question. Are you an American first or are you gay?
You have to explain to me what you mean by destroy the country, first.
Country, yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? What is he doing to destroy the country? Then I can tell you.
Well, I'm not sure why you think Obama is such a good man, because
I don't think he's a good man. I didn't say he was a good man. I never said that.
No, but you think he's a good man?
I never said that I thought he was a good man.
Well, I'm asking you now. Is he a good man?
I don't know if he's a good man. I don't know. I don't know the man.
By what he's done in the country thus far, is he a good man?
What I like is what he has done so far, and some of the things he's done. Yeah, I agree with some of the things he's done. I agree that he has met a great deal. 80% of his agenda has been achieved. 80% of what he said he was going to achieve has been achieved. Now, all the things he's done, am I happy with the means of them all? Not necessarily. But the end result, some of them, yeah. So I never said he was a good man. I don't know if he's a good man or not. I don't know him. So I can't say that.
Has he brought our troops home?
He is bringing them home, yes. He has not done it yet.
I didn't ask you that. Has he brought them home?
That's my answer. He's bringing them home, but he hasn't done it yet. Right.
Well, those are two separate statements. You can't make
them at
the same time.
And, of course, he didn't put them there. I mean, he put them there in Afghanistan in the first place, which I didn't agree with. I don't agree with them being there in the first place. So
okay.
I wish he would bring them home. Yeah.
How do you feel about the Patriot Act?
I don't agree with the Patriot Act.
Okay. And what do you think Obama's stance on the Patriot Act is?
I think he left it in place, as far as I know.
That's right. It was going to sunset, and he signed it, so it didn't sunset. By the way, that was a complete turnaround from what he claimed he would do when he was running for office.
Yeah, I know. He said that before, other things as well. I know that.
Well, he's done that on lots of things.
Well, I know that, but so has every other politician. He's no different than any other
politician. We're not talking about every other politician, though.
I'm saying Obama. You can't say Obama is so different than anyone else. He's a politician. Of course, he's going to behave the
same
way.
That's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses for him.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying it's the reason. The reason he behaves that way is because he's a politician.
If I have a criticism of Obama, the first thing that I'll hear from somebody is, well, what about Bush? And let me tell you something, I didn't say that earlier. You didn't say that now, but you did say it earlier.
No, to you, I didn't say that. To you.
That's correct, but you did say it earlier on your show.
Well, it depends on what particular topic you're referring to. Well, I don't know what I was talking about.
You were mentioning Obama, and in order to somehow make Obama look better, you compared him to Bush.
Well, that does make anybody look better, wouldn't you agree?
No. Let me tell you what I think. I think that there should be a jail cell for Bush and every one of the people in his cabinet and every one of them who violated the Constitution and their oath of office. I also believe that there should be jail cell right next to those jail cells for everybody in the Obama administration that has violated their oath of office and violated the Constitution. See, I'm equal opportunity. Here's my take on this. If you fuck my country, I want to see you in jail. If you violate your oath of office, I want to see you prosecuted. If you...
Can y'all hear me at all? You can't hear me, right? You can hear me speaking? Okay. Hold on. This is weird. So, still can't hear me. Okay. I don't understand this. I'm really lost.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.